Now it's time for our regular dish with the political junkie.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
But I'm the decider.
Today, John McCain makes his case for the war in Iraq and hopes to turn that support into votes come 08. The White House and Democrats face off over timetables and Iraq spending, and Democrats debate the presidential debate that's sponsored by Fox News. If you have questions for Ken Rudin, our resident political junkie and NPR's political editor, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Or you can email talk@npr.org. NPR's Ken Rudin is with us. Welcome, Ken.
Hi, Rebecca.
So Senator John McCain, Republican candidate for president, gave a speech earlier today in which he reaffirmed his ongoing support for the war in Iraq. He called it necessary and just. Let's listen.
Will this nation's elected leaders make the politically hard but strategically vital decision to give General Petraeus our full support and do what is necessary to succeed in Iraq? Or will we decide to take advantage of the public's frustration, accept defeat, and hope that whatever the cost to our security, the politics of defeat will work out better for us than our opponents? For my part, I would rather lose a campaign than a war.
Of course, McCain would prefer to win both. How do you think this message plays with voters?
Well, there are two kinds of voters. How it's playing with Republican voters, probably very good. The Republican electorate seems to support the war. 3 out of 4 Republicans in most polls show that they do support the war, support the president's conduct of the war, its goal of trying to win the war. But if you're looking at the American public in general, a general election electorate, obviously that group is clearly against the war. But first things first, McCain has to win the Republican nomination. That's what he's approaching, trying to do right now.
And this is a potentially primary winning strategy.
Well, if you look at the polls, he's not doing so well. You know, he's not raising as much money as McCain had hoped for in the past. If you look at the national polls, he's trailing Rudy Giuliani, the pro-choice, the pro-gay rights, former mayor of New York, the liberal Republican. And McCain, who entered 2007 as the ostensible frontrunner for 2008, obviously finds himself trailing among many Republican voters, not because of the war so much. I think more of his problems are the fact that he dissed the Republican establishment, the conservative establishment, back when he ran for president in 2000. You know, a lot of people are complaining. A lot of people who formerly supported McCain in 2000 say that, you know, he's bending with the wind and he's putting his finger up and he's trying to adapt to the times, but he's not taking the politically popular position, 3 P's in a row, by supporting this war, which is still unpopular, but he's staying by his convictions.
Well, without putting too much emphasis on the fundraising horse race, he did have sort of disappointing numbers from the first quarter results. Do you think this is enough, his sort of ongoing appeal to people who continue to support the war in Iraq is enough to make up some difference in that electorate?
Well, clearly there's obviously a problem with many conservatives have with McCain, as they probably do with Rudy Giuliani and Mitt Romney, the former Massachusetts governor as well. They're not sufficiently conservative enough for some of these Republican voters. But McCain has said, look, you know, I've been with the president on this war. I think the war may not be handled exactly correctly, but victory is far more is a better thing to support than a pullout when you'd have to come back in months later and more American lives would be lost. So McCain feels that the Democrats are really letting the American people down, even though it's politically popular to pull out, you know, to have a timetable in legislation. But ultimately, it would be self-defeating for the country.
Well, speaking about that showdown about fundraising for the funding the war and whether or not a bill will include a timetable. We've got email from David in Miami Beach. What's the latest on the emergency Iraq funding bill with the withdrawal timetable that Congress passed and Bush is threatening to veto? Who wins this showdown? Could Bush cave on the issue and sign this legislation, or will Congress have to pass a spending bill with watered-down language?
Well, the president says he will not cave. He will you know, not accept any kind of legislation that includes a timetable. The Republican Party seems to be strongly behind him. Democrats don't seem to have a united position on it. Harry Reid has said that, you know, we have to compromise, we have to talk about this. But the House has yet to, there has been, I think, 65 days since the president has submitted this legislation calling for more funds for the war. The House has yet to name conferees because the Senate and House House bills are different about different timetables. So the presidents insist that the generals are backing his position, that a timetable would be a big mistake. The president says he will not back down. But Democrats, especially Democrats from the left, insist that the Democratic Party should not back down as well.
We're joined on the line by Republican strategist Roger Stone, who recently wrote a column called Let McCain Be McCain, in which he's sort of talked about, where is the maverick, iconoclastic, speaking truth to power McCain of the 2000 presidential race? Roger Stone, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Did you see any of that old outspoken McCain today in that speech to the about Iraq funding?
Well, I unfortunately just felt to me like warmed over George W. Bush. I mean, here you have McCain, who is been one of the most articulate and on-point critics of the conduct of the war, consistently talking about the Powell Doctrine of overwhelming force, criticizing these lightweight forces that Rumsfeld is sending into battle. And now, at a time when we're hanging our fate on 20,000 troops, a number the old John McCain would have scoffed at, he staked his candidacy on it. It really is incongruous to me.
But Roger, it's Ken Rudin here, but a lot of people have criticized John McCain for switching positions, perhaps more politically popular positions, as he did with about religious conservatism in 2000, things like that. Would a McCain break from Bush on the war be considered another flip-flop or a McCain flip-flop?
Well, I would point out that all these things in which people are accusing him to flip-flop came after he became the cheerleader for the Bush war policy. During the time when he was still fighting with the administration over torture, people saw the old John McCain that they like, who is, willing to call him as he sees him. But between the outreach to Jerry Falwell, to the emphasis on Roe v. Wade, he's never changed his position on the right to life issue, but it's not anything he's ever expansively talked about. That's been brought to the forefront. Coming back from Iowa and saying he's rethinking his immigration position, I mean, everything about John McCain that people liked in 2000 regarding his freshness and his candor, he now looks craven and calculating, which I think is what's undermining his candidacy.
Let's take a call from Karen in Waterloo, Iowa. Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I guess what I'm really concerned about is that the Democrats are going to cave. You said they were kind of wishy-washy on this. Well, guess what? We've got a president who, in my opinion, hasn't got the brains God gives peanuts, but he's not afraid of anybody. He's got all the courage and guts in the world because he says what he's going to do and he goes out and he does it. And until we get a backbone in the Democrats who say, absolutely not, we're not going to fund a war that is killing our family members and is running a deficit. If they need money, why don't they go after Halliburton and some of the money that went over there to them that we haven't found yet?
Thanks, Karen. Ken?
Well, yeah, but actually, I mean, there's obviously a lot of questions about whether the Democrats will stand up to the president on this. But going back to the McCain thing, Roger Stone, I just want to ask you, can a Republican win the nomination by breaking with the administration, breaking with the president on Iraq?
Yes, I think you can, and here's why. If you will look at polling conducted by the New York Times, actually, roughly 2 weeks ago and reported on page one, but also private polling that I have seen among suburban Republicans in places like the New York suburbs, the Philadelphia suburbs, the St. Louis suburbs, the Sacramento suburbs, the Tampa suburbs, the Detroit suburbs, real suburban Republicans, the war's not popular there either. I think 57% told the New York Times poll that they would be willing to vote for a candidate if they agreed with them on all the other issues but differed with them on the Iraq war. The war is heavy baggage for any Republican going into the election. The real question, Ken, is can the Republicans win at all trying to carry the war on their back? The answer is no.
Roger Stone is a Republican strategist. You can read his column, Let McCain Be McCain, online. There's a link at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Roger Stone, thanks so much.
Great to be here.
We have more for you, Ken. Don't go away. We have an email from Diane in Intervale, New Hampshire, who says, what do you make of the White House searching for a war czar, and why can't they find someone to fill the post? I think we're up to three people who have said thanks but no thanks.
Well, look, it's not let's put it this way. It's not the most popular war in the world, and voters know it, Republicans know it, and the White House knows it. And I think part of their problem is just trying to sell the war. Every time President Bush goes out with the ostensible major speech on the war. His popularity does not increase. The support for the war does not increase. So it's really, it's a doomed policy. And I think John McCain is actually, we saw that in his speech today at VMI in Virginia, that he's torn between, well, between a rock and a hard place, given the fact that by the way, Rebecca just made a face.
I rolled my eyes at the potential pun of the rock. Yeah.
Yes, but the fact is that he believes that the pulling out would be far worse than the conduct, the way the war is being conducted right now. But he knows that the war is not a winning issue with the American people.
Let's take a call. This is Paul in Spring Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Ken. I just had the opportunity of speaking to my congressman, Tim Baghdad is like Detroit Wahlberg. And I was asking him, he said that he was working for tax cuts. I asked him what kind, and he went on to say that, and I brought up the war and the expense of that, but he went on to say that all tax cuts increase revenue. And historically, and I find that awfully hard to believe, and I'd like to know whether that's true or not.
Wait, I'm not exactly sure of your question. Repeat that question.
I'm sorry, I just let him go on the line.
Oh.
Do all tax cuts increase revenue as a policy point, according to his congressman?
Well, some, you know, you can make the argument either way, that either it helps the economy or it actually hurts the taxpayer. But ultimately, I think what's interesting is what the Democrats plan to do with this. Taxes used to be, for years, for decades, was a clear Republican issue. Republicans were winning on it. Ronald Reagan clearly made it a prime issue of his elections in 1980 and 1984. But Democrats may feel that the issue has rebounded, that there are deficits, that there are things that need to be paid for, and perhaps the Democrats feel they have an issue they can win with.
And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We have email from David in Maple Shade, who says Hillary Clinton has a database of 250,000 donors. Then why was she able to tap only 50,000 of those in the first quarter? Was it by design, or are the donors just tired of giving to the Clintons?
Well, there is Clinton weariness, and they've been giving money throughout the 1990s to Bill Clinton. But I think, look, Hillary Clinton still raised $26 million. She raised more than anybody else in history in the first quarter. Perhaps she didn't expect Barack Obama to do as well as he did. He raised just slightly less than she did. But again, you know, given the fact that the Republican Party used to be the party of money, the big money recipients used to be the Republican candidates, not this time. There's a feeling in the country that this is the Democrats' turn, and I think Democrats did really well. I'm not convinced that there is a Clinton fatigue, a Hillary fatigue. Certainly she did very well, but it'll be interesting to see how much of that money can be used in the primaries as opposed to just a general election campaign. Barack Obama apparently had 100,000 donors, a lot of them perhaps giving maybe a couple of $100 each, but there may be a more of a grassroots effort on the Obama and perhaps other candidates as well, more so than Hillary Clinton.
If there is Hillary Clinton fatigue, there's still an awfully long way to go in this campaign.
Well, you know, I say this all the time, but 10 days before the Iowa caucuses, we're talking about polls right now, talking about front runners, which is so ludicrous.
Right.
10 days before the Iowa caucuses, Howard Dean had a big lead. Dick Gephardt was in second place, and they finished third and fourth, respectively, in Iowa in 2004. So to talk about polls is nonsense. That's why it's very important that we hear what the candidates have to say before we start worrying about money and viability.
So let's talk about debates. Several of the Democratic candidates have refused to participate in a debate sponsored by Fox News.
Well, the Democratic Party and certainly the Democratic activists on the left have this antipathy, deservedly perhaps, for Fox News. They feel it's not fair. They feel it's not sufficiently willing to listen to the liberal point of view. And they've kind of bullied, in a sense, the Congressional Black Caucus, which was sponsoring a debate with Fox News in August, in September, I believe, in Detroit. A few days ago, John Edwards, the former senator from North Carolina, says he will not participate in any event sponsored by Fox News. The other day, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama joined suit, and it's likely that debate will fall through as well. It's interesting. I mean, there's some people who feel that given the fact that Fox News has such a large viewership, that getting the Democrats to talk on Fox News would be good for the Democratic Party, but others feel that why reward a network that just looks down at the Democratic Party, and it looks like the Democratic activists are winning.
Let's take a call from Richard in Chicago. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Richard. You're on the air.
Oh, how you doing?
Good.
I had a question in regard to Senator McCain. I'm from Chicago. I'm a 36-year-old African-American male, and I'm not really party affiliated, but, you know, talking to a lot of other African-American males, in regard to voting, Senator McCain was someone that we would have considered voting for, one of the very few Republicans that could have probably pulled that off, aside from Colin Powell, I guess. But nonetheless, you know, with the stuff that went on in Baghdad, and that kind of went down real bad as far as my respect for Senator McCain, but him agreeing to appear on the Imus show, that kind of just did it. I mean, it kind of just, to me, just said that's how the Republican Party, more so Senator McCain, feel about the African-American community. So,
Richard, who's your alternative, do you think?
Right now, I don't see anybody that I'm really trusting to vote for. I mean, I feel like I can't vote for any of the Republicans, so I'm going to have to vote for a Democrat. Right now, that's looking like Hillary or Barack Obama. And Barack, even though he himself is an African-American, my concern with him is he hasn't said anything about anything really to the point of what he is going to do if he is elected. None of them have really, but at least I would go with Hillary because she has some political experience.
Richard, thanks for your call.
Let me just say something about the Imus show. Imus has been saying things about blacks and Jews and women, offensive things, for years. This didn't just start this week. And the fact is these candidates from both parties, Democrats and Republicans, have been willing to appear on the Imus show for years. Only now it's become a controversy.
Ken Ridden is the political editor at NPR News. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you so much.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Neil Conan is back tomorrow with a special broadcast from Tucson, Arizona. Scenes from the Border. I'm Rebecca Roberts in Washington.